good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And in chapter number 4, in verse number 1, if you're able to stand. All right, here's what he said. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you received of us how you ought to walk to please God, so that you would abound more and more. For ye know what manner of commandments that we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Are you in the will of God this morning? If you're not, I'm hoping you'll find that before long. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. Let me say right there, you see what's, and I'll be saying this later, when the singing's over, when the sermon's done, when the shout's gone, what's left is you and your vessel. All that's going to be left is you and your vessel. We come to sing like this and pray and preach and have a good time in the Lord, and rightly so. But when you leave here,
yes, sir,
it's you and your vessel.
Yes,
notice that. And notice, if you will, please, he said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. We want to say thank you for loving us, even while we were unlovable. We thank you for the souls that you've saved and the lives you've changed.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray that now you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on furthermore then. Furthermore, then. Thank you, Brother David. Furthermore, then. When you begin to look there, the reason why that he says that is because you got to back up into chapter number 3 and see a few things that God has given. In fact, is you'll find out that in chapter number 3, you're going to find that life is a battle. We're tempted by the tempter on a regular basis. And let me tell you right now, in verse number 5 of chapter 3, there's affliction that abided you and I like it did to them. And there's tribulation, and there's things that we have to overcome by faith. I got to tell you right now, it don't always feel good, but it always, by faith, is good. I want to say that he said in verse number 8 of chapter 3, that we're to overcome by faith. Stand fast in the Lord. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They're like a black bass in the bottom of a boat, and every time they flop and flip, they're on a different side. You know, I was thinking about, and I was looking across here at this congregation, I thank God for you. And if I didn't, I'd be where I could be able to thank God. And I've looked across here, and I can't tell you how many times that I've seen the style change, men and women. I mean, they go from one time having a goatee to no tee. I'm not knocking either one of them. I'm just saying you think you can settle on something. They go from long pants to short pants. They go from long hair to no hair. And I can't tell you about you ladies, every time the style changes, you run upon somebody you like and you try to pattern after her. Or somebody else, this preacher's wife, and pattern after them. Or some senior group and you pattern after them. You know why? You've never been settled on the word of the Lord. You know, my wife for 48 years had growing up, ask any of them girls since they've been ever born in the world. We've been in the ministry now, I've been 48 years. We learned what God said about that. She hadn't changed one time. See that? Now, I'm not trying to beat you up, and I'm not trying. I'm just trying to tell you what you're doing is that you're following everybody else except the Lord. Because if you follow the Lord, friend, the word won't change, and it won't matter what anybody else does, you're going to ever be the same. And not only that, she's not a Pharisee about it. She don't ever go home and say, hey, did you see what so-and-so had? Was how gaudy, blah, 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 you know. You know why? She's not a Pharisee. Some of you men, if you're not careful, you get more worried about what everybody else is doing. And that's one of the passages that are here that we ought to learn to be quiet and do your own business. You can't take care of your own business. Somebody said, well, hey, what about you doing this and that? Well, I know it, but I got to tell you is that I think I'm doing better than so-and-so is. I grew up in that. I got to tell you something right now. You're going to find out is that Jesus said that we ought to love one another. Now, the reason why that we don't, and by the way, let me tell you, and let me say it again. I've been preaching it now for 48 years. 48 years. I've been preaching stuff for 48 years that some of you just now waking up to. I kept thinking for a long time, hey, you know, I don't want to say nothing too loud and wake them up. Do you realize and know that? I don't want to purposely embarrass you and all of that right there, but women ought to dress in a modest apparel, and that ought to be to where that your sleeves ain't cut out and to where you bend over, somebody can see your titty from the side. God bless you. Thank you very much. And that ain't you gals. That ain't you women's fault. That's you men's fault. God bless you. Thank you very much. I'm going to get that lucrative chair up here one of these days so somebody can say, see what I'm telling you? I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, and you know there's some things that if you're not careful, somebody said, you know, you can always tell what's in a person's heart by their apparel. No, you can't. Don't you ever believe that lie. You cannot tell that. I'll give you a passage for it just so you'll know, because it's going to befuddle your mind. Do you realize that the Bible does say there came a woman with the attire of a harlot? Now, you can dress like the attire of a harlot. It won't make you a harlot, but it'll make people think you are a harlot. But here's what you got to worry about. You got to beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. They're dressed right, walking right, talking right, spitting white, trying to deceive your heart to a damnable hell. I got to hasten on because I don't have a whole lot of time, and I know I'm having a great time and a good time, and I hope that you can have a good time, and if not, I want to say to you that you just, some changes maybe need to be made. Did you know in chapter number 3 there, the Bible says that we ought to have a heart that is unblameable. Look in verse 13 of chapter 3, to the end, in other words, when this thing ends up, that your heart's unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. In other words, when it comes your time to leave this world and you've ended up, you ought to have unblameableness stamped upon you by the Lord, and that you have the grace of God and the holiness of God and the mark of God upon your heart and your life. I want you to notice in this Bible that, if you will, please, is that the Bible said, number one in our text, we're to walk to please God. You know what God's looking at? How you walking. God's looking at where you're walking. God's looking at who you're walking with. God's looking that when you feel good, you walk. When you feel bad, you better keep walking. Walking with God, walking to please God, the Bible says. We're not changed by a new buddy, new preacher, new singer, new idea, new plan. Listen, God's ever going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Bible said that whenever you've got a heart that's unblameable, if you looked over in the book of James chapter 3, verse number 14, the Bible said, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. For this didn't come from above, this came from below. It came in its earthly and sensual and devilish. And you better be careful about having stuff wrong in your heart. Did you notice that when you begin to see that? Is that when you go someplace, like vacation, or our church, another church, you visit another church. Yeah, you know the reason whenever you go there is so different? You don't know anybody, and they don't know you. See? Let me tell you right now, these girls singing up here and having come, there's a lot of churches give their IT to have that. And there was a time you could all shout. But now, because you know them, they know you. See? See, I love you in spite of what I know about you. And I could go down, I've got things about everybody, because there's not but one perfect person in this building. Who is he? The Lord Jesus Christ. So before I ever start pointing too many things at you, there are going to be some things smiting my heart. See? Sometimes we're worried about, we're thinking about, and all that business there. We worry about, you know, our church and well, how it doesn't grow. When's the last time you invited somebody to come here? I'm going to tell you, the problem is not God. The problem is us. Well, I invited somebody and the word ran them off. You want me to go ahead and give them a sugar stick? You want me to go ahead and try to pat them on their back and let them go straight to hell? You want to let's shout it out? I guarantee you right now is that the problem is that you can invite people to go anywhere else, but you can't invite people to come down to your own church. And let me say to you that if you will, please, I don't mean this to be ugly, but I do mean it, and I know it's going to sound ugly. But the reason why that people have a good time when they go out of town, and I'm not just talking about to another church or camp meeting or this or that, but it don't matter if it's vacation or what. The reason we have a different time and a better time, nobody knows us there, and we don't know anybody. But when you go to finding out what the real thing is, you see what I'm telling about? I got to tell you right now is you're going to find out is that you'll find out that in this Bible lesson that we're looking at is that like some of those meetings I told in Sunday school class, I've been in those very meetings across the country that I named. One of the best meetings that we ever went, I went with Jack Wood and Brother Wood when he was alive. We went out there, Duck Pond, Florida. Leroy Dalrymple started that church, and they was a ripping, snoring, rip rumping, and we had a good time all the way around. And let me tell you, a week later, and they said after we left, it's the best camp meeting they've ever had. And a week later, they ran the preacher off. I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of difference when you know something. I got to say to you that I could go on and on, but needless to say, what's more disappointing is some of those men that used to preach there, that used to seem like had power, that used to be there in sheep's clothing. The reason I know it, because they ended up being pedophiles, and God didn't save nobody like that. Good actors is what they are. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out we ought to walk to learn how to walk to please God. And if you walk to please God, I can tell you right now, every time your favorite preacher, favorite singer, favorite friend, favorite this, favorite that, every time they change, you won't change. If you're walking in the word of the Lord and you're walking with God. See? I mean, I want to ask you something here now. Can I do this? What is something that, now, I don't certainly want to be offensive, and I'm glad she's got her glasses on because there's not a lot of time. But what if something were to happen? I come to church and, well, what about you up and down the road of life? You're the hardest, you're in one of the hardest Bible preaching churches. No wonder you can't shout. I got to pull him back down for me. I'm sorry about that. If I've caused some of you to have to go to the eye doctor, that's a good thing. I may start having to wear them like this because I can't get them back down now. You see what I'm talking about? Now, I don't want to beat you up about all this and that. I'm just trying to say there's a lot of change goes on by the influence of other people around you. I mean, you're holding on, holding out, doing the best you can. One's wanting you to hold on, the other wanting you to turn loose and let go. I'm not going to pull off my shirt because I've got you know, that six-pack. When you see them people, I've got that six-pack. It's just got a 3-liter belly of fat on it. I was watching myself. My wife took a picture. Oh, no, man. I got that BFG, big fat gut. Huh? I got to hasten on to move on because let me tell you, we ought to walk to please God. Are you walking to please God? Number two is that in the verse that we've read, it's not guesswork. This is the commands of the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ, it says. And then I want to say to you that if you will, please, is that we read, he said, for this is the will of God. I ask you, are you in the will of God? Well, if not, you better get where you can get in God's will. Now, I don't mean that ugly, but I do mean it. I know it sounds ugly, but why would you want to be out of the will of God and not be able to enjoy it? Listen, I've been here 28 years, as you know, last June. I plan to finish out right here. Now, I'm hoping my wife will finally tell me, you know, not whenever I get to where I can't remember things because I'm already there, but I'm hoping my wife will be able to tell me, well, honey, it's about time to hang it up. I kept wanting the Lord to tell you, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to help you. I hope to be done before that. But let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that the will of God for you and I to be sanctified, for you and I to be separated, and to come out from among the well and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people, and to abstain from fornication. Now, you know, we're always preaching the last part about it when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ arise, and the shout that he's descending with a shout and all that, and we're glad for that. And I'm looking forward for that. But let me tell you, isn't it something that he said, furthermore then? That's the title of this sermon. Furthermore, why? Furthermore, what? Notice in verse number 4 of this text that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Notice, not in what? Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. They don't just think about it, buddy. They involve in whatever that they conjure up in their little old godless, wicked mind. The Bible said that we are certainly by the Word of God. We're to walk and to please God. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something, and I'll say it again. That means when the singing is ended, and that means when the sermon's over, that means when the shout is gone, you know how to possess your vessel, because let me tell you, you should know how to possess it, because there's nothing left but you and God when you go out of that door and by the morrow. Now, I want you to watch this. God says, not in lust. You ever have any trouble with lust? I mean, the Apostle Paul did. What do you think that is over there in this lesson that we're looking at? Not, verse number 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. That's a strong sexual desire. Do you know Paul the Apostle mentioned that word, Romans chapter number 7, Colossians chapter number 3, and he said, mortify these things, and one of them was evil concupiscence. A strong sexual desire in and of itself is not bad, as long as it's not running you and you're running it. And it ought not to be an evil concupiscence. And notice, if you will, he said it here in this chapter that we're looking at right now. Now, I want to say to you is that the Bible says in verse number 7 of our text, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. And let me say to you is that in verse 11, when he said, study to be quiet, that's the hardest thing you'll ever do. One of these days you'll get into it with your wife or your vice versa. And you're going to say, well, hold it, hon. I'm going to study to be quiet. I wish you would do the same. Well, I'll have you to know I've been able to give you a piece of my mind, and I'm not going to, until I get through dumping it out, I'm not shutting up about it. Oh, it's quiet time over now. I'm going to tell you, we'd do better if we'd realize and know that we're all subject to like things. And notice, if you will, please, when you begin to look at that, is that you'll find that, listen, when you're getting ready for the Lord and you're wanting to hear the shout from heaven to call us out, you better make sure that you've got an unblameable heart and that you're professing holiness and that you're not living in evil concupiscence, as he's mentioned here in this chapter. Verse number 7, Bible said, for God hath not called us to unclean. See, there's a call of God involved here, and it'll be unto holiness. In verse 11, when he said, study to be quiet and do your own business. Uh-oh. That's verse 11. I'm not going to have time to even deal with that. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? Can't take care of their own business. You can't enjoy being who you are, possessing your own vessel, because you're worried about everybody else not lining up with what you think. If you're enjoying what you're doing, how you're living, what do you give a rip about anybody else for anyway? Huh? Yeah, no need in me. There's no need in me trying to tell you how that, whatever it is, whatever boat I've got, whatever gun I've got, whatever I enjoy. If you don't enjoy doing things like that, well, do whatever it is you do enjoy. I'm not going to waste 5 minutes more of my life wearing a belt trying to get you to think like I'm thinking. I know there's some things and some decisions you've made in life. I thought that down through the years, 28 years, I know some stuff. I thought you've lost your mind. Could I tell you this right here? You know, this Bible said that we've been commanded by the Lord to love one another.
Yes, sir.
Now I want you to watch this, and you'll not find me. You'll never find me. I don't care if it's a party. I don't care if it's a church function. I don't care. You're never going to find me off with just one person.
Amen.
I'll visit with this person a while, that person a while. I'll go visit with another person a while. I don't have to have just somebody to where I feel like I'm in my little comfort zone. See? You see what I'm talking about? You've got to be able to love. Give me that old time religion. Remember that? Makes me love everybody. And then whenever I walk outside, I'm just going to be with that one buddy. Till I fall out with them. Once you fall out with them, then you're going to have to find another buddy. I wish I hadn't come back home, don't you? That's what happens when you go. We went three services, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Ain't nobody even give us enough. There was one man I thought one time was going to grunt amen. I don't know if he passed gas or what he did, but there was a noise. That's sad, brother. That's sad that that's all you can get right there in a town that's flooded with people that need the Lord. Fact is, there was a place across the road there. That Sunday morning we went, there was a place across the road called Anchor Point something. Man, the parking lot, beautiful building. It filled up all over the place. And they must have got everything they needed because Sunday night there wasn't nobody there. Talk about having just a little talk with Jesus. I don't know if they got anything made right, but they didn't have to come back Sunday night. I wished I hadn't went on Sunday night. But then that wouldn't have been a good testimony if I'd have come back and told you I didn't go. I just didn't go. I listened to Brother Darrell, but I still went, and then I listened to him later. Let me tell you right now, I could have went ahead and got something out of that, did get something out of that, got nothing out where I was at. I say to you in closing this morning, I'll be done. This Bible says that we ought to learn to do our own business. You know why you can't do your own business? You know why you're in everybody else's business? It's because of the fact you're on Facebook all the time wanting to know what you've missed. You're so full of God. You're so full of holiness. You're so curious about what everybody else is saying, what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is involved in, what everybody else is saying. It can be your best friend or your worst enemy. I got to tell you, dear friend, that's why in America we're not doing our own business. I can remember years ago whenever I was growing up, I went for 9 years without a TV. And let me tell you right now, dear friend, I was probably the better for it. But make no mistake about it. Is that they're preaching no TV in the day we live in. I guess they don't have to. They got a cell phone and they got a laptop and they got more filth that they can program into than they've ever had in their life. You know why? They don't know how to possess their own vessel. See? I want to say in closing that if you will, in verse number 12 he said, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. And that you may have lack of nothing. Now I'm going to tell you, if you have got all that right there lined up, and none of us ever do all at one time every day, but we're working on it. But if you've got that all lined up, then you're ready to be able to hear the sound of the shout of the voice of the archangel and Jesus Christ to return again. I hope that you know him in the free pardon of sin. If not, furthermore, then, we'd better examine ourselves in the light of that. I wonder, as we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and as we get ready to sing the invitation, maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I want to be." Maybe you're here and say, I'm saved, but I've never followed the Lord in baptism, but I'm ready to. Maybe you're here and say, preacher, I just need some touch from God. I just need something real from the hand and the heart of God. Whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. Now we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we thank you for it. We pray that you'd work on every man, woman, boy, and girl. Thanks for loving us while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?
Page 137.
137 while we sing.